From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. 30 years after what was known as Argentina's dirty war, the country is in the midst of a series of wrenching human rights trials. An estimated 30,000 people were executed or made to disappear under the rule of the junta. Of the crimes committed during the dictatorship, perhaps none is as enduring as the theft of babies born to mothers of the murdered and disappeared. It's believed nearly 500 children were either given away to childless military couples, sold on the black market, or abandoned at hospitals. In the intervening decades, 88 victims have found their biological grandparents. From Buenos Aires, NPR's South America correspondent Julie McCarthy looks at the painful ordeal of recovering identity.
Paula Logares was just 23 months old when she and her parents were kidnapped and brought back to Argentina from neighboring Uruguay. The year was 1978. The couple had been part of the leftist armed rebellion that fought the dictatorship that ruled Argentina from 1976 to 1983. My parents had been montoneros, but had quit the group by the time they sought exile in Uruguay, she says. Too young, Paula remembers nothing of the kidnapping that ended with her parents' disappearance, nor does she remember her adoption at age two by a police officer rumored to have been her parents' oppressor and his wife. Paula vividly recalls the courtroom scene 6 years later when she was forced at age eight to confront her real grandmother and the fact that her own identity had been a lie perpetrated by the police officer couple who had appropriated her. I was a very small girl, and I remember a huge table in a huge courtroom. And I remember that when my grandmother was trying to approach me, I put distance between us, not running, Paula says, but just moving to the other side of the table. At the beginning, it was total rejection, she says.
The girl maintained always 2 meters of separation between her body and her grandmother's body.
Retired Judge Andres D'Alessio made the landmark decision to return Paula to her biological grandmother in 1984, the first case of restitution of a misappropriated child. He recalls that the Lavagens, the couple who had taken Paula for their own, had poisoned the girl against her grandmother.
In some moment, the grandmother said, "Listen, I have here a photo of you when you were 19 months old, and put it on the table." And the girl, she's a very intelligent girl, she's now 32, she began looking at the photo, and I made a sign to the grandmother to approach, and there we won those 2 meters, because she was distracted with the photo.
Paula regarded the picture of herself as a toddler with deep suspicion.
She said something that really froze me, because she said, "This photo is too new, too intact to be for the time I was a little girl." And the grandmother, very calmly, said, "Well, I'm glad you're intelligent. Of course it's a new photo, because as I knew I was going to see you today, I made it bigger. Look."
The grandmother retrieved from her bag the photo store receipt. Up until that moment, Paula had rejected even the word grandmother. The judge had to resort to mother of your mother instead. Overwhelmed, Paula began to cry. My reaction was to trust no one. I said they were all lying to me, and the emotions were so strong, I just wanted to sleep, she says. Sleep came. And when she woke, Paula said her head was clearer. The day had stretched to 5 o'clock when suddenly the phone rang. Judge D'Alessio says the judge holding the couple who had appropriated Paula called to say,
"Listen, I have the couple. What do you want me to do?" I said, "Do whatever you want, but keep them for 1 hour in your office. Do anything." So I had the time to tell the girl to ease her. She was tired, of course, after 6 hours of discussion and screaming and crying. And I said, "Well, Paula, I think it's time to go."
Paula did go with her grandmother, with whom she lived on the outskirts of Buenos Aires, while the police officer couple continued to press for custody. After consultation with psychiatrists, Judge D'Alessio decided a year later that Paola should meet the couple who had appropriated her once more. The decision infuriated the Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo, the grandmother's group, who had been instrumental in finding Paola. It argued that the encounter would traumatize the girl all over again. But Judge D'Alessio says the meeting was cathartic and recalls the climax when the retired police officer asked, "Paola, why don't you greet me?"
She said, "Do you want me to greet you? First tell me where are my father and my mother." And that finished everything.
The couple's battle for custody ended in their indictment. Today, Paola works at the National Memory Archive, where the government compiles material on victims of the old state terror. Among them were the parents of Marco Suarez. The 31-year-old discovered just last year that he'd been illegally adopted in the late 1970s by a nurse named America.
Her sister Norma told me that America was doing the rounds in the hospital and saw a baby on a stretcher. It was me. And when she passed by, I made a very wide smile at her, and she fell in love with me.
The hospital director had falsified a birth certificate to say that America was the birth mother and that Marcos had been born at home, something he began to think was suspicious.
I thought, how could a health worker run the risk of her life and her babies by giving birth at home? I also began to ask about my father, a taboo subject that nobody seemed to know anything about.
At the urging of friends, Marcos last year went to see the Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo. In their 30 years of existence, the grandmothers have examined thousands of public documents, conducted stakeouts, and gone undercover in search for their grandchildren. They also arrange medical screening to match victims with their biological families.
A psychologist there opened my mind. He said, "There are no pictures of you as an infant. No pictures of your adopted mother pregnant, a birth certificate full of questions." Then he said to me, "You should be looking not only for your father, but for your real mother as well."
1 year ago, after tests confirmed his biological identity, Marcos was introduced to his grandmother for the first time. He describes a feeling of immediate connection. "We looked alike." And he says the ground trembled when his grandmother showed him pictures of his mother and father, politically active medical students who disappeared in 1976. He keeps his parents' memory alive with his real family name, Suarez. I asked if he is bitter at those who had denied him that name when they fraudulently adopted him.
Did you ever resent them for doing that?
No,
I feel no resentment at all. They gave me everything, and that's why I was so cautious. I didn't want to hurt them. I thank them for raising me. And my grandmother is thankful to them for raising me for 30 years.
The scandal of the misappropriated babies of the dirty war has reached Argentina's Supreme Court. Justices are expected to decide whether compulsory medical screening of anyone suspected of having been misappropriated is constitutional. Paolo Logares and Marco Suarez believe the decision is the individual's. Human rights advocate and Supreme Court Justice Carmen Arjibay says it is a question of what prevails, society's interest in knowing the truth or the individual's interest not to know.
It's not an easy question. This is a person who's been probably a victim of a crime. Should we double victimize him, re-victimize him or her, if he doesn't want to give way to a test for something that he doesn't want to know?
While she was the first child to be reunited with her grandparents, Paola Lugada says, "I don't feel saved by the grandmothers." Paola's struggle for identity is tied up now, she says, with something much deeper than having discovered her biological family. "I'll continue to look for myself, who I am, but my search," she says, "is not locked in the past." Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Buenos Aires.